The episode that you're about to listen to is a fucking car wreck, all because of last minute technical changes by the wonderful Joseph Jammer Medina. I blame him. I blame him wholly. I blame him eternally. Still some good stuff in the show, so enjoy.
Yo, you're already recording the call.
Yeah, I don't fuck around. I'm always just like, yo, let's start, and then we start. You know me. You know me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're also the reason you get these bright ideas that cause me to have shitty audio. And I don't like it.
It happens. I think it's funny how shitty audio just... I understand shitty audio to a degree, but you just like, no, it kind of sounds like this, therefore I hate it.
Yeah, it sounds like phone calls or talking on old, like, dial-up VoIP. When you had to have, like, a second program to run your team's voice, you know, chat in a match of stuff like, Quake, the original Quake, and Team Fortress and stuff like that. You had to have additional, not all the chat voice shit's built in.
Yeah. Should remember, it reminded me of Counter-Strike.
Mm-hmm.
You ever play Counter-Strike?
Yeah.
Online, that shit was fun. And yeah, the audio was awful. You hear a bunch of 12-year-olds talking and tinny sort of small headsets. I say that because I was, how old was I at the time? I was probably 13 or 14, so I wasn't much older. But man, yeah. That was some fun shit. I had so much fun.
I did. I was more into StarCraft than Command & Conquer. StarCraft really caught.
Never got into those. I was into Age of Empires for a hot second for a few years. Mm-hmm. The old one, like the one probably from like Windows 98 or whatever, or maybe 95, I don't remember. It was a while ago, but I had fun with those. But I played that online as well. God, I realized I played online really early. Crazy.
Yeah, I've been playing online since the, like 93, 94-ish.
What a world, man. Yeah. I still can't believe that happens. And you know, what's always crazy to me as well is how many people online that I've met. Back when I was doing more anime-related stuff, there was like a whole like network of friends. That, I mean, I'm still friends with them today. And it's just interesting to me how like there are times where we would be at like Anime Expo, or I would be, it'd be Anime Expo, and I lived in LA at the time, and that's where Anime Expo took place. So literally there'd be like three or four people who would come and like just stay at my house. You know, I had like a house that was like for many different people, and they would, I would just be like, dude, fucking three people here I had never met before, they just visited. That's crazy to me. Yes. Anyway. So all of you might hear a little bit of sound difference. It's because we are on Skype instead of, you know, not Skype, or however you want to say it.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to LR Mornings today. Most definitely with Kyle and
Jammer.
Possibly with...
Are you expecting him to jump in without any rehearsal, Kyle?
Is he... No, I don't know.
Hey, Danny, are you there? So we could see you, Danny, but we can't hear you. Which might mean that you want to go to your Skype... you want to go to your Skype audio and video settings and make sure that it's detecting your microphone. By the way, how do I sound?
This sound like you're talking in a bathroom.
Oh, shit. Why didn't you tell me, man?
Because that's what Skype always sounds like to me. None of you guys ever sound, like, good in Skype.
But I mean, like... Yeah, this isn't even detecting my microphone. God damn it. What a waste of time. What a waste. Hang on a second.
Well, now, thank you for your kind words and your. Let me know when I'm sounding shitty in the future, Kyle. Come on. What about you, Danny? How you doing? Are you there yet?
No Danny yet.
Ah, no Danny yet.
No, there's his picture. I don't know if that's him or some Dracar Noir ad picture, but
There's a picture.
Yeah, it looks like there's some internet issues on his end, so we're just going to roll with it. Maybe we'll have him on Monday, but it is worth noting he is a new contributor at LRM, and he also had a chance to check out Tenet, which he'll talk. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and read his general thoughts.
Okay.
From Slack. Where did he put them? I think it was under which Slack channel? This Slack channel. He said, there's an early line in the film, don't try to understand it, feel it. And on one viewing of the film, that pretty much sums it up. No spoilers, it's a visually impressive piece of filmmaking, confuddling in places and breathtaking in others. Seemed to go from exposition scene to action scene with not much to make you care about all the characters. I can certainly see why Christopher Nolan was adamant it hit the big screen first, as on IMAX, it looks and sounds great with the score helping to guide your emotions. In short, a must-see but flawed film.
Sounds like what you could expect from a Christopher Nolan film.
Yeah, it literally sounds like textbook Nolan. By the way, Danny's going to try to hop on one more time, and if it doesn't work out, then we'll just continue on. But I will say,
that's making my job difficult today.
Hardly. No, we're not. There's that part in the middle, and that's it. And don't worry about it. If he hops on and it works, then we can just continue on like nothing happened.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's textbook Nolan. You know, it kind of feels like Inception at its peak, because Inception to me was just like it had very little heart and was all about ideas and plot and action and sort of keeping you on the edge of your seat. But you didn't really care too much. I mean, you had some ideas like, yeah, I theoretically care about this guy and his wife and him seeing his kids. But apart from that, it's kind of an abstract thing. And Tenet looked like it was more along those lines of Inception than it was with even Interstellar, which I thought was his warmest film to date, the most emotional film.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, are you there? Okay, so heads up, Danny, we cannot hear you. So sadly, doesn't look like it is meant to be, at least not now. Next time, though, we definitely want to hear your full thoughts, because I don't know about you, but I'm definitely not going to be seeing Tenet by Monday.
I don't see it.
Kyle?
Yep, there it is. I could see Tenet tonight if I wanted to.
Okay, should Danny come on Monday or Tuesday
to talk about it? Yeah. Yeah, today is Friday the 28th. Thursday, September 3rd.
Can you hear me?
Oh, finally.
What the hell is this all about?
This is the worst day ever.
It really is. It's awful. What's going on? Skype.
I usually have my back,
Skype, but today you don't. Today you stabbed me in the back, Skype. But anyways, what I was saying is, would you prefer Danny on Tuesday or Monday?
It's not out here until September. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay,
so September 3rd.
We'll have him on Monday then. Just so we can have him on Monday. General stuff. Yeah. But I'm really excited for it, even though I'm not going to see it for a while. Like, just he has a very specific style and aesthetic and feel to his movies. And a lot of people go like, oh, you know, it's not emotional, and mostly it isn't. But I think that's okay. I feel like there's this misconception that a movie has to have, or a story has to have, these things in order to be good. And I'm like, if a movie is so leans heavily in like this group of things, these group of attributes, that it doesn't need to be, it doesn't need, there's no things that says it has to have this aspect. To me, it just has to be entertaining, right? And if it's entertaining, and if you really kind of want to know what happens, it shouldn't matter if you want to know what happens because of the plot, or you have to know what happens because of the character, or if you have to know what happens for whatever reason, like other reason, like as long as you keep on watching, that's great, you know, in one way or another. And I think that, you know, Nolan's stuff generally just skews colder than most filmmakers, and that's okay, just because the emphasis is so more on the concept side of things.
Yeah.
But Interstellar, man, Interstellar, that shit rocked my world. Did you like Interstellar?
I liked it quite a lot. I did enjoy
it. I had an existential crisis, but I also felt like the cool thing about Nolan I like is that, and I don't know about Tenet, obviously, but for the past several movies, it's felt like it's been almost like he's been making movies to help him flex certain skills, or at least to help him grow in certain ways. Like, to me, Interstellar almost seemed like a movie to, he says, oh, well, people say my movies are cold and are motionless, so I should have a movie that is, like, revolves completely around that idea. Like, yes, it has the interstellar stuff, but it also, I think, has the strongest sort of core narrative to it revolving around Murph and her father and their relationship and all that. And, you know, just the scene where freaking Matthew McConaughey's, like, just looking at his kids grow up and then just crying. It is just like, oh my God, it is fucking crazy. And you know what it kind of reminded me of? Did you ever watch the anime Voices of a Distant Star?
No.
So that was from Makoto Shinkai, and he, you know him from Your Name and a bunch of other stuff before that. But Voices of a Distant Star was his sort of breakout movie, and it was a completely solo-made project. He, like, I think I remember hearing that he... and I may be making this up or mixing it up with someone else, but, like, he made it, like, by himself over the course of a few years or whatever, like, on a shitty Mac computer or something. and it's not very well animated. The concepts are, like, it's more of a concept piece and more of just, like, oh, I can't believe someone made this by themselves type of thing than it is actually, to me, a genuinely good movie. But you could see, like, the early concepts of his ideas, like, in Your Name, it's about two people who, like, fall in love from a distance. And that literally is something that is a theme throughout, like, eight of his movies or projects or whatever.
And so many of them. And just so shitty to where you're like, you know, what happened in your life?
Yeah, right. But he, that movie is, like, about some girl who goes to war in space and then the guy who stays home. And then as she's at war in space, you know, time passage is, like, different. So they get, what was it? She gets a message and she gets it, like, every, I don't know, few days or weeks or something, but he gets it, like, every few years or decades or something.
Oh, wow.
And then basically as they send messages to each other, he's growing, like, super old and she's just, like, still a teenager. So it's, like, that whole concept of sort of distant lost love, which is a cool concept. But anyways, that's why Interstellar reminded me of that.
I was upset they still didn't manage to totally close in the paradox of the future beings, the distant beings helping start our existence and then us helping start our own existence. And there's still some unclosed loops in that movie. Damn it, I gotta watch it again. That's one where you can't watch it just once.
Yeah, I think I've watched it twice, but I think I need to watch it again. I think it's one of those movies where I'm like, I really like it, but man, it's, like, exhausting, so I'm never in the mood to watch it, even though I really, really like it. So we'll see. Actually, I think I will try to watch it in the near future, because you're right, there were those paradoxes that I didn't fully understand. And that whole scene where he's in the freaking cube world, whatever. Very confusing stuff. I definitely want to see it. I want to watch it again. Maybe that'll be my Nolan fix for the weeks to come, is seeing that instead of Tenet.
I don't know what babysitting looks like for us these days, but that's definitely something my wife and I both want to see. So, as we get to September, where I guess the U.S. whatever screens are open in the U.S. in September, it appears Regal at least is going to be open in my area for Tenet. So
Tenet. I like calling it Tenet, but then, like, I get, like, stuck in, like, a rabbit hole of just mispronunciations because I want to go, like, Tenet, and then it makes me think of Jenna from Forrest Gump, and it just keeps on going.
Your mind is weird.
Yeah, it drives my wife crazy. Like, no joke. She's just like, what's wrong with your head? Why do you think that way?
Christine and I are all reference humor, like, reference humor based. Very much all inside jokes from favorite movies and shows and shit like that. So we're big on reference humor, which some people might find completely weird when you're doing some reference from something like Venture Brothers or Metalocalypse, a real obscure, you know, pop culture reference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
people look at you like, okay, crazy people. Should you have that kid with you, or should we call someone?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you, I don't know that reference, so, but it just reminds me of, do you ever like watch something after like a decade or so and go like, oh, that's where I got that thing that I always say from. And I forgot where I gotten it from.
I've done that before, but not in a really long time. Like
it happened recently for me, and I don't remember what I was watching. I don't remember what it was, but I remember it was probably within the last 2 months or so where I watched something. I was like, oh, that's where I got that. That's where I got that. That's where I got that. It was literally like three separate things that I do or say, and like how I say them.
And you learned this a month ago, and you can't remember it.
I said a couple of months ago.
You did have a move. You had a drive.
I had a move. I had, you know, to drive. I had a lot of other things to push out that very unimportant piece of information.
Dude, I see this story on our front page this morning, and I know it could be dangerous territory, but
probably.
Daisy Ridley has not been offered much work since Star Wars.
Yes.
Our own Cam Clark put it together. Ridley recently spoke with EW. She said it was so sad to finish Star Wars when the film was released. I was like, oh my God, it was such a huge chapter. And weirdly, the past few months of not having much, obviously, yeah, now it's really nice to be working, but not having much at the time. I feel like I processed the last 5 years to be forced to slow down. It was good mentally for me because Star Wars was a big thing in my life. She continues, weirdly, at the beginning of the year, nothing was coming through. I was like, oh, no one wants to employ me. But she later remarks that there were some things that she had gotten to audition to. And later on, things started picking up, at least as far as offers. We know not a lot of jobs are getting done now. What do you think about that? That even just for a moment, there was a time where shit wasn't coming at her.
I mean, it sounds like she got auditions but didn't really nail them, or they didn't go through. I mean, it sounds also that she actually managed to get work already. Like, yeah, there was a slump at the beginning of the year, but it sounds like it's picked up and that she's kind of back in work. I don't make much of it, to be perfectly frank. I think she was fine. It was probably just a natural slump that any actor would get, and it was just probably ill-timed. And because at the end of the day, like, she didn't say that she wasn't getting auditions. It sounds like she just wasn't that they weren't calling her back after the fact.
Yeah.
I guess it's possible. No, I don't think Hollywood studios are looking at the movie going like, oh, we're not going to hire her because people didn't like that movie. I don't think that's the case.
I would hope not. Not off of just the division of the Last Jedi.
Like, no way. So
she'd be toxic herself.
So because I think she's
fine
her.
In the movie. Like, yeah. As far as her acting, she's no worse than Carrie Fisher was. Carrie Fisher was.
She's way better than Carrie Fisher.
Not
was.
A talented actor. That's what I'm saying. She's not worse than that. She and Fisher really wasn't. I mean, everybody loves her. She's very, very funny, but she was not like this. You watch like
she's any more movie, of a writer. She's more of a writer.
Yeah, you watch any movie she's been in, and she could be funny. She could be dark, like in The Burbs, but she's not a great actress. Daisy Ridley feels like somebody who can actually act.
Yeah. Daisy Ridley's definitely a good actress. It's like a huge difference to me is that like Carrie Fisher is. You know, she came in on acting, but to me, she was always more of a writer, and that's fine. So, yeah, I think she'll be fine. I believe she'll be fine. Obviously, I don't know for sure, but I think she's talented enough and she's done enough things to where she will be able to go just fine. And it sounds like she's already gone over that slump and is starting to work again. So I almost feel like it's a non-story. It would be more of a story if she said now she still can't get work.
Yeah.
That would be very disappointing. But
of course, countless fanboys across the internet take to news like that very differently. And apparently my turn down thing does not affect alarms. Alarms apparently bypass.
Oh, that. Yeah. Alarms are specifically meant to bypass that stuff.
You guys enjoy the wonderful sounds of newfound glory as that wakes me up in the mornings. Or reminds me when it's time to take medications. So, looky there. I was going to say this article Cam wrote has sent me into a rage. I know you can't really hear it at the end, but I am. I'm angry. I'm pissed off because some dude's like, she would, name's David, she would be my first choice to play Jessica Drew in Spider-Woman, which seems might be on the way over at Sony because they're stupid idiots.
Well, I know nothing about Jessica Drew.
Nothing.
But I will say this.
Would you cast Daisy as a superhero?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I think so. But, like, it's just a matter of one thing I do want to say is that, because she basically was a superhero in Star Wars anyway. Like, Jedi are superhero as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But, like, I always remember, I think it was for The Last Jedi. There was this one featurette. And in that featurette, she was, like, on a climbing wall. And then she was on a climbing wall, sort of not necessarily in a Spider-Man position, but like in sort of a climbing position. And then she like twisted her body so that she was twisting on the wall and then was like twisted upside down. And I was just like, oh my God, that is like takes a ridiculous amount of muscular control there.
Yes.
And yes. So based on that alone and no other information, absolutely Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman.
You know what, to be honest, I think she could probably be a fine Jessica Drew. You're going to find people that are going to bitch about Daisy Ridley not having the proportions of Jessica Drew, but most women.
I don't know shit about Jessica Drew. What does she look like? Is she like super busty or something?
She's classic comic character, super busty, super bubbly butt, waist sometimes. You know, it's drawn that way, but yeah, she's a stereotype. She's been around since God, this 60 had her own cartoon.
What was that, a question or what?
No,
say?
I'm just letting you know.
She had her own cartoon.
Spider-Woman had her own cartoon, Jessica Drew, and a lot of people now they're just discussing whether or not that this female Spider-Man MCUs, or not MCU, but Sony Universe, whatever the fuck, project being Spider-Woman, but some people want it to be Ghost Spider, who used to be Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
Confused enough yet?
No, it's not confusing. Like, I mean, yeah, she used to be Spider-Gwen, now she's Ghost Spider. And she was also Spider-Woman for a bit in... Spider-Woman for a bit. Like, that's another name she had, I think, for a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well.
But now she's Ghost Spider.
Yeah. It would be seriously between doing Drew and... The funny thing is Spider-Woman, Jessica Drew, has nothing to do with any of the Spider family other than name.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely. Nothing
I feel to like, do I with... feel like we had... So a rumor ridiculous. Probably like 2 years ago about Jessica Drew Spider-Woman movie. And that was like a huge thing was like, well, yeah, she's completely separate. Like she's her own thing. No connection. Yeah. Whereas the other ones do have connections to Peter Parker.
Yeah. That's weird.
Anyways. I like the Spider-Gwen outfit though. The Ghost Spider outfit. I think her costume is super cool. Like the white and black and sort of the neon hoodie under inside lining look.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool look. Like I remember I saw the comics when they came out and I was like, those are some striking looking comics. Like they're beautiful. So I think realizing that for the big screen would be awesome. But I don't know. Might be Jessica Drew. Who knows?
Don't know. Never read any of Spider-Gwen or any of the Gwen Stacy over like mainstream books. Just never got around to him. I got out of Spider-Man after Secret War. I wasn't too. I was following Miles for a little bit, but yeah, no. Next time I see Spider-Man will be on the big screen again, which will be out for first, the next live action or Spider-Verse 2. Both are set for 22. I just don't know when which one comes out. I'm stoked for both though. So that'll be it. That will be it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what this thing is going to sound like.
Skype has proven untrustworthy for us. So
you might find yourself some cuts, some places. Don't worry, it wasn't you. It was us. Make sure you check out LRMonline.com every single day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Check out the YouTube channel. Lots of really great things on the YouTube channel, especially celebrity interviews and, of course, our podcast channel. Please subscribe to the podcast channel so that way Google and Apple and everybody goes, oh, hey, people like this channel. Let's move it up and we can get some more notice and be able to do more for you guys. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, and of course all of my entertainment stuff at LRMonline.com, and you can find my books on Amazon and Audible under the name AJ Serna.
Hey, you guys can find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.